And they lived happily ever after. There are too many stories that I learned as a child that ended with, and they lived happily ever after. Some were fairy tales. Lots of those. Others were Bible stories, though. Folks never told me that there was more to the stories. And when there's more, I think it's important that we learn from the rest of the story. Today's Bible reading is about Solomon's request for wisdom. But there's a whole lot more to Solomon's story. Solomon didn't do everything right from that point forward. Solomon asked for wisdom when God said, you know, I'll give you anything that you want. In Sunday school, the teachers would sum things up and say, Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. If you ask for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. The end. It wasn't until many years later that I dug a little bit deeper to learn more of the story. I feel like I was cheated. I was cheated out of the truth. And maybe it's too much there, but I didn't get that part of the story. I still think that I was cheated. It's as if my Sunday school teachers thought that I wouldn't believe in God if the story wasn't all put together very neatly, tidily, and with a happily ever after thing. Maybe they're right, but I didn't get the chance to decide. I didn't get the chance to learn until much later. Solomon was far from perfect. He made a whole lot of mistakes. He didn't always show wisdom. Solomon let the temple become a place poisoned with power and corruption. That's what happened to the temple. It's kind of where it's at now. Solomon built temples to many other gods and made poor decisions when it came to taxes and even raising his children. It was a great example how people are capable of messing up royally. And God still got to be the one who got things done. Why couldn't we remember Solomon as the king who messed up royally and that God still loved him? Solomon made mistake after mistake after mistake. And these are the ones that are written down in the Bible. God still got things done. And that's what I wish I had learned as a child, that this pillar made lots of mistakes and God still got things done and God still loved Solomon. Some wise words from the book of Hendrix. Jimmy didn't always live wisely, but listen to these words. Knowledge speaks. Wisdom listens. What is wisdom? How is it that Solomon is remembered as a ruler with wisdom instead of a ruler of blood, infidelity, violence, sin? Those are all very present. You know, didn't we read through Solomon's biography and find that he supported, through his action or his inaction, assassination, polytheism, violent government takeovers, selfishness, the continuing pursuit of power, unfair labor practices, and massive spending on a temple project that is still more about arguments than about anything else? Do we brush over that because it makes him look bad? On the other hand, Solomon did, by his actions, support thoughtful decision making, support authentic listening, and support discernment between good and evil. That's good, right? I think we could be in agreement that the first group of items are not so great. They do not show wisdom. Second group do show wisdom. But can we call someone who makes so many mistakes wise? Leader ability? No? Yes? Maybe? I think you're not only allowed to call them wise, but it is the mistakes and the learning from the mistakes that give wisdom. We learned that in the children's sermon today. You learn that in school. You learn that in the game Masterminds. You cannot win the game Mastermind unless you look back at your mistakes and don't repeat them. If you keep repeating them, you will never get the right sequence of 3, 4, 5, whatever the version of the game is. Go home and play Mastermind today after the Evensong presentation and the Ice Cream Social, right then. Not before. You know, there's not enough time. Stay here, paint, have ice cream, go back to church, and then go play Mastermind. Solomon's story. This story about learning from mistakes, and not always learning from mistakes, sometimes repeating them over and over again, but the story of the kings of Israel, actually. That's a story of the people of Israel making mistake after mistake and saying, we want a king, and God's saying, no, you don't want a king. It's not going to go well. Yes, we want a king. We know what we want. All right, fine, you've got a king. Did not go well. Sometimes it went well, but overall it did not go well. But it fits into that big picture, that meta-narrative of the Bible. I've said it so many times, you got to know it, right? God creates, we what? We mess up royally. God redeems, does something good, we mess up. God does something good, we mess up. And we're really good at our job. God is really good at God's job. Dating back to Saul, the king didn't go well, God knew. We can remember Solomon as a king, one of the many kings of Israel who did not do great, but did okay in a lot of things and was wise. But he's the one who messed up royally, and God still got it done, in spite of. We can remember that today we live in a country that is built upon the separation of church and state, right? That's one of our founding tenets. But all too often, we forget that, right? We bring supposed religious authority into politics. Preachers do it. Politicians do it. I thank God for this. God told me this. The Bible says this. And we insert it into our politics. It's okay for us to have political opinions that are informed by our religion, by our spirituality, by our reading of the Bible, by our experience. But we have learned over and over again, it's not okay for us to take our religion and say that this is the only way someone can think and insert into politics that way. Long-held wisdom tells us that elevating religious beliefs of one group over another is a bad idea. Short-term ideology says that we should create a religious liberty task force to hold that conservative Christianity is to be held in a higher position than any other. Am I reading into what's been happening? And am I inserting my own opinions into it? Of course. Think about that. Short-term ideology does say that if we win, it's better for the whole world. Long-term would say that the whole world can figure it out, and we don't have to be the ones who win. Wisdom teaches that we don't elevate our interests or needs over the needs of all. We have to continue to be a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And we have to do all of that with integrity, with respect, with wisdom, not elevating what we do over anybody else, but just doing what we do because we're trying to make the world a better place. More wise words from another poet, prophet, not from Christianity. Jimmy wasn't from Christianity. This is from Rumi. Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself. Each one of us can do that. Changing the world, yes, and I encourage us to go out and make the world a better place. But we do that by changing ourselves. When we change ourselves, we do change the world. When we change ourselves and then collectively we make the world a better place together. So may we seek wisdom. May we trust in God's guidance. and God's unconditional love as we continue life's journey, ever discerning. Amen.